Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 80. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 80. To the chief musician, upon Shozamim, Edith, a psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou wast brought of thine out of Egypt. Thou wast cast out a heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. As she sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We hope to remember in prayer today Mr. Hank Van Harten, who was still in the Calgary Hospital, and Mrs. Mary Vandenberg, who hopes to commemorate her 80th birthday this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Most holy, most gracious, most long-suffering and ever good-doing God, then thou wast granted on the second day of this newly begun year, on the first Lord's Day of this year, that the doors of thy house have been opened, and may we be given to acknowledge thee, that thou wast spared us the first day of the year. Impress it more and more upon our hearts, whether we are young or old, strong or feeble, that we are so dependent upon thee. And when thou removest thy hand for a moment, then we are no more, and then we are brought into eternity. Then also on the first day of the year, and during the night, and in this morning hour, then thou hast showered us and our children with many blessings, which most of the people upon the earth must miss. And what maketh us to differ? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now, Lord, when we stand at the beginning on the second day, on the first Sabbath of this newly begun year, Then we humbly ask thee above all things for a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, a virtue, the finished meritorial work of thy dear Son, in the state of his humiliation, and by the application in the state of his exaltation, O Lord. And may it please thee to remember this portion of thy vineyard, and then we have heard out of thy holy word the earnest prayer unto thee, the living God, that thou would return, that thou would cause thy face to shine in a special way, and then we shall be saved. And thou wast promised in thy word that it shall not return void unto thee. And then we humbly beg of thee, O wonder-doing God, that thou may perform those wonders in the heart of young and old, O Lord. Would it not be much to thy glory when many of our little boys and of our little girls, when they would receive a new heart and be so busy and exercised with the precious things of the Lord, would it not greatly be to thy honor when many among our youth would be given to make that good choice of a Ruth, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God, O Lord. Would thy name not be glorified when there were many among the middle-aged, in the midst of the busyness of life, that they were given to see that the world with everything not to despise it, but that it is passing away, and that it cannot give the full satisfaction, that they would be given to seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and then that was even promised that all other things would be added unto it, Lord. Would thy name not be glorified when thou amongst our elderly ones, when they are still unconverted, as it were, that thou would pluck them as a brand out of the fire and bring them to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, who has cried out, "It is finished." Lord, would it not be much to thy honor when thy children would have more a close, a tender life with thee, that sweet communion, to be given to hear thy voice, to receive something new, and to that end to be enabled to sing a new song, and to be led further in the mysteries of salvation, and not only to be given to behold him that is fairer than the children of men, and to experience that grace is poured out upon his lips, but to live out of him and for him, our Lord. And may it then please thee, in this dark, this solemn time, when thou would do it, then it would be so evident that it would be all thy work. Thou usest means, but that it would be the loving and irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And then surely thy great, thy worthy, thy triune name would receive all the honor and the glory. To that end, may it please thee to bless thy word, and wilt thou remember the consistory a special morning, when there shall be installation of office bearers, one who hopes to be installed for the first time. And, Lord, thou knowest what a mountains and what an impossibilities there can be. But may his eyes be upon thee, and may thou be his helper ever near. But that is not only necessary when we are installed for the first time, but it shall also be experienced so indispensable when we are installed by renewal, each in their respective offices. Lord, wilt thou grant in a singular eye for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, wilt thou bind all the souls more and more upon the hearts, give a special place at thy throne of grace, where they may be given to cry unto thee and to need thee each time by renewal in their official labors. To that end, the necessity of a close and a tender life. And then, when thou pleaseth, when it pleaseth thee to use us in thy vineyard, then the assaults of the prince of Satan, they shall be experienced many times. May they be given to experience that there are many Aarons and Hurs in the congregation. May they be found to be faithful, O Lord, to that end. May they be given to need that great office bear, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Because also office bears they shall experience each time by renewal, weighed in the balances, and to be found wanting. And to that end, so necessary a prayer for life, that they may not only be helped, be found faithful, but that they may also be found fruitful. That in this year, that there may be many evidences of the wonderful works of the Lord in the hearts of young and old. Then we commend unto thee their wives, their families, their children, many an evening, other occasions, they are alone. But wilt thou also remember and be mindful of them. Then we commend unto thee all the special needs. Then we commend unto thee the mourning, the elderly ones, our Bethesda, the sick and afflicted ones. Remember the father in the hospital with grave and serious concerns. Then we commend him unto thee. Then we may ask thee that the means that are being used, although it is not like the doctor's desire, because his body is too weak, but that he may yet be blessed. And when his life may yet be extended for a little while, also his times are in thy hand, then an extension is only for a time. And to that end, above all things, may it please thee, out of free and sovereign grace, to save his never-dying soul. Wilt thou remember his dear wife and the family circle? Remember all the sick relatives. And now, Lord, We humbly ask thee on the first Lord's Day of this year, for thy gracious help. May we be administered to from above. Wilt thou remember all the hearers? Remember those who hope to be installed with their oath. Always a very solemn moment before thee and in the presence of the congregation. Wilt thou remember us with all the oaths which we have made in the years gone by? May they not be forgotten, but may we be found as a people, oftentimes in our knees, looking unto thee, fervently begging of thee, for thy wonderful works of free and sovereign grace, that we may be pardoned of all of our sins, we ask it, in the pardoning thereof, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 359, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards a useless watch maintain. And what follows, Psalter 359, the first three stanzas. Thank you. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in the Song of Solomon, the 8th chapter, at the verses 11 and 12. The Song of Solomon, chapter 8, at the verses 11 and 12, where God's word and our text reads thus. As Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon, he let out the vineyard unto keepers, every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200. Our text words speak of Solomon's vineyard and Baal Hamon with three thoughts. In the first place, the particulars of the vineyard. Secondly, the appointed keepers of the vineyard. And thirdly, the determined remuneration from the vineyard. Solomon's vineyard and Baal Hamon. The particulars of the vineyard. The appointed keepers of the vineyard. And the determined remuneration from the vineyard. Thus first, the particulars of the vineyard. Beloved congregation, our text words speak of a vineyard. The owner of the vineyard and also the keepers of the vineyard. And then it is clear from the scriptures that many times in the scriptures, then the vineyard of Solomon and other vineyards, that they refer to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have read together out of Psalm 80, and there the children of Israel, under the external administration of the covenant, they are compared to a vineyard, a vine that the Lord has planted, that the Lord has hedged about, that the Lord has watched over, and on account of their backsliding and sins, refusing to hearken to the prophets, that the vineyard was destroyed. Yet we have heard from the psalmist the earnest prayer for the reviving work of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 5, the first 7 verses, there the prophet has declared that the beloved had a vineyard. It was planted in a special place on a fruitful hill. It was hedged about, a tower in the midst of thereof, a wine press, and that the Lord has come to look for grapes. But there were wild grapes. In the New Testament, in Matthew 20, we have the parable of labors, some 6 o'clock in the morning, even a few 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they received their remuneration. Then in Matthew 25, And then we read of the parable of the talents. And now in this morning hour, when we read of the vineyard, then who are you thinking about, boys and girls? And about the keepers? Then you were thinking about the consistory and the office bearers that hope to be installed, one for the first time and the others by renewal, and that is fitting. But then in this morning, we must broaden it out, that is necessary, and that we may turn in unto ourselves, because then let us also think of our soul, and in the second place of the family circles, of father and mother, with the children, when the Lord has spared hitherto. And now it is clear in the Song of Solomon, that Solomon, that also in our text it may be declared, greater than a Solomon is here. Because Solomon, oh, of course, it was only in part. Because Solomon has fallen into great sins and backsliding, nevertheless, the name Solomon means peaceable. When we consider his wisdom, his riches, his justice, his kingdom, his servants, the temple which he has built, then in many ways he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we read Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. That was a special vineyard in a special place. A picture of the church. Let us never minimize and never despise. What a great blessing it is when we may have a place under the external administration of grace. Balaam, when he has beheld the children of Israel, then he has said, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Shall you never leave those tents, congregation, but may you be given to us much, that God's word may be blessed. And that as I read in Isaiah 55 verse 13, that for a thorn shall come up a fir tree, and for a briar a myrtle tree, and it shall be the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. And now we read Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. That was a vineyard that was owned by Solomon, but that was also for Solomon. And now in a vineyard, of course, in this part of the country, we do not have those vineyards. It is too cold. But then when we consider the vineyards of Bible times, then how many beautiful lines, fitting lines, we can draw to the church. Then in Isaiah 5 I read that such a vineyard, that it had a hedge round about, to keep out the wild animals. We have heard out of Psalm 80 that the boar out of the wood, the wild beasts, and when they would enter such a vineyard, then there would nearly be nothing left. But not only the boars out of the wood, we also read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, those little foxes that spoiled the vine. Thus not only the boars of persecution, the boars of world conformity that do so much damage, but also the little foxes in slyer ways, a false doctrine, an easier way. Then we read in Isaiah 5 that in that vineyard they have built a watchtower for watchmen, that they may warn of danger coming. Then for such a vineyard, then those keepers, they were called upon to remove the stones. There can be many stones of offense and many stones of stumbling. Then further, the thistles, the weeds had to be removed. The earth had to be cultivated, and the vines had to be planted. We, of course, read in the New Testament in Mark 4, verse 28, and in the parable in Matthew 13 of the sower, of the seed that is being sown, but vineyards, they are planted in a different way. And then we can all understand for those keepers, they could not make one vine to grow. But the Lord uses means. They were called to be diligent. And now for the planting of a vine, then such a keeper, he would take a part of the old vine and cut it into lengths of about 30 centimeters. In the winter time, and then he would bury it in the dirt till the springtime. And then he would take those little shoots, and then they would be planted much underneath with a few buds above, and that with the favorable conditions, only with the blessing of the Lord, that those little shoots, that they would have roots. And then the following spring, then such a one would be planted, those little shoots with roots would be planted in the vineyards. And then those little vines, they would be given to grow. And then the keepers would have to place poles with lines, that those vines, with their little fingers called tendrils, that they could grab onto those lines and that they could grow in the height. And then after several years, then there would be fruits. And now when we consider the plantings and the growth of that vineyard, then we are given to see that such a vineyard takes much a strenuous labor. And to that end, we read in our text, as Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon, he let out the vineyard unto keepers. And therefore, the second thought, the appointed keepers of the vineyard. And then by renewal, let us mention also our homes, our family circle, husbands as head of the family, wives, also older siblings, boys and girls, what a blessing you can be in the midst of the family circles in the way of teaching, example, reading to your younger brothers and sisters, that they can look up to you, that you may be given to walk according to God's word, that the little children, you can help your fathers and mothers, teach your little brothers and sisters to memorize psalters. Thus, when we speak, Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon, And then let us not only think of the church and office bearers, but let us think of our family circles, of our homes, where there are tender vines. And then those keepers, they must also many times consider the vineyard of their soul. But now concerning their weighty work, then those vineyards, it is written in God's word, and it is clear from the scriptures that those keepers of the vineyards, that they cannot make one vine. They cannot make one vine grow. Oh, it is true, they can plant the poles and string out the lines, but they cannot make those little vines with their fingers, with their tendrils, to grasp those lines. Then maybe I hear a few souls say, ah, that is my picture, a little vine, that I may see those lines, and that is the word of God. The pillars of the truth of God's word, they are the poles, and on those lines, the special promises in God's word for those seeking souls. Oh, then many times it can seem that those lines, they are out of reach for those little fingers, and then it is necessary that those vines are given to grow upwards, and that there may be a time, oh, those spiritual vines, then it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, the verses 6 and 7, it is Paul that planteth, and it is Apollos that watereth, but it is God that giveth the increase. Then those keepers, they must be watchmen watching for the enemies that have a desire, because that vineyard of Solomon, that is such a thorn in the eyes of the devil and of the world. The leftist agenda sometime they even declare that is now what stands in the way, the Christian church, Christian education, the word of God. And then it is necessary that the keepers of the vineyard, that they are given to watch. Then further, the stones of offense, they must be removed in the way of Christian discipline. Then in the vineyard, then it is the concern of those keepers, and may that be even more experienced in this year, because when a keeper, when he has a vineyard, and when those vineyards become old, it is true, they tell us that those vineyards, the third and fourth year, they can produce many, many grapes in a year, 7 to 36 kilograms, and that they can even become 100 years old. But now for a true keeper, when he has concern about Solomon, because we can understand that the condition of that vineyard, that reflects the honor of the greater Solomon. It is true, when we consider farmers, then there are many things that they cannot control. But on the other hand, when you have a farmer and he has a field, and every year it is full of weeds, that tells much about the farmer. And therefore these keepers, what a solemn duty, what a solemn obligations are placed upon their shoulder, because the vineyard of Solomon at Baal Hamon, That is for his honor and for his glory, and therefore the necessity, in that vineyard, that there are not only older vines, but when a vineyard may be flourishing, boys and girls, what do you think we then find in such a vineyard? Then we also find those little vines, and we find those vines that are a little older. Thus we can understand for those keepers that they are busy each time by renewal, that new vines may come forth. We have said they are cut forth from the old vines. No, the keepers, they cannot make one vine. That is the work of the Lord. Nevertheless, it is the common way that the Lord uses with his vineyard. When there are many new plantings, that those old vines, that the Lord sends down the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and that they are given to beg earnestly, that new little vines, that they may be planted in the midst of the congregation. And when those keepers, when they may place those poles at intervals and string the lines above those vines, then it is the joy when they may be given to see those vines, when they become a little taller, and when they are unable to grasp those lines, and that because those vines, they are so weak, they need support. There are many storms, there is mildew, there are insects. Then when it is well with those keepers, then they spend sleepless hours thinking about the vineyard, what all could happen when it is well with those keepers. Then oftentimes you shall find them in prayer and asking the Lord that all the labors may be blessed. Thus those vines, they need support. They are not oak trees. That people of God, in Isaiah 35, feeble knees and faint hands, then they need the word of God proclaimed in all its riches. Then further, the vineyard also needs to be dug, fertilized, needs to be dug up, also an uncovering preaching. But what else does that vineyard need? And that is also the solemn duty of those keepers. Then they tell us that vine, that needs much pruning. And then the keeper must not ask the vine, if we had a vineyard, and if those vines could speak, then what an objections they would have when the keeper would come by, and when that vine would be pruned. Then they would have many reasons to ask the Lord that this branch or that branch, that it may remain. But the keeper, he must do what is right. And when we have no knowledge of a vineyard, then they tell us that if we would see a vineyard pruned, that we would feel so sorry, and that we would be afraid that vine would die. What a solemn responsibility that is upon those keepers. Oftentimes how it can be also after house visitation, because what a wisdom, what a light, and what grace is necessary to deal with those vines. We read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, that there are many tender vines, and those tender vines, they need to be encouraged, and nevertheless they must be pruned each season by renewal. And they tell us when those vines are pruned, that literally they are given to weep. Matthew 4, 5, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And now concerning that vineyard, then what is the purpose of the vineyard that Solomon had in Baal Hamon? Was it now that it was a beautiful vineyard? That is part of it. It must be an orderly vineyard, because I read in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40, let all things be done decently and in orderly. The stones of stumbling and offense, they must be removed. But boys and girls, what is now the main purpose of the vineyard of Solomon, which he had in Baal Hamon? And that was fruit, that vineyard would bear fruit, would bear much fruit, that it would bear beautiful fruit. Oh, concerning that vineyard, then many a time Solomon, then he comes to inspect that vineyard. Think of the parable in Luke 13, the verses 6 through 9, that the owner, a certain man, when he has planted that fig tree in the vineyard on choice ground, then he has come to look for fruit. For the true keepers in the vineyard of Solomon at Baal Hamon, then many times those keepers, they are filled with many fears. They have many matters to confess, that they are not keepers as they ought to be. Oh, many times those keepers, they become so discouraged when they see not so much growth, and when there are not those clusters of grapes hanging on the vines. Oh, then there can even be times that those keepers think the next time that Solomon comes to inspect the vineyard in Baal Hamon, that they have their thoughts, they have their words ready, that they shall tell Solomon that they shall resign, because they are so insufficient to these weighty labors. And it seems that the enemy is so strong. Oh, then there are times when Solomon comes to the vineyard in Baal Hamon, that they are given to show Solomon their wounds, the arrows that have been shot, that are still in their body. Nevertheless, Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers, everyone for the fruit thereof, was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. And that is the third thought. We must make it short. Our third thought, the determined remuneration from the vineyard. Thus for a Solomon, it does not say may he have, but it says in verse 12, he must have 1,000, and that concerns the honor of the greater Solomon, because in the book of Proverbs I read that in the multitude of followers there is the king's glory, and that must now be the prayer of those keepers. Oh, the purpose of the vineyard at Baal Hamon, that Solomon may receive 1,000 pieces of silver, that Solomon may be glorified to the highest. When a Solomon, because when Solomon sees his vineyard, then he may see his own work, because we have stated, we have sung together out of Solomon 127, that except the Lord build the house, the labors labor but in vain. And now concerning those 1,000 pieces of silver, then in verse 12, then we read, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000. And how are we now to understand these words? Listen closely. Then it is written, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000. Then it is clear those words Thou, O Solomon, they are addressed to a Solomon. Oh, then the keepers are given to declare that Solomon must have 1,000. But what are we now to understand? My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. There are different thoughts. There are some that think that the first part of verse 12, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me, that they are the words of Solomon. And then the keeper begins to speak. And of course, that is an absolute truth, because the vineyard of Solomon at Baal Haman, that is continually before him, that shall also be in the year of our Lord 2022. That the Lord shall never forsake his people. He has engraven them upon the palms of his hand. But then it is necessary that we read the scriptures as they are. And when we read in that second phrase, thou, O Solomon, then the keepers are speaking to Solomon, then we must also understand and read the scriptures as they are written, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me. But how can that now be? How can it now be that a keeper shall say, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me? That can be in different ways. In the first place, the vineyard of their soul. Because in chapter 1, verse 7, then we read that they have made them keepers of the vineyard. But then he has confessed, but my own vineyard have I not kept. In the second place, when the keeper said, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me, then we may also refer to the household of the keepers. Because in 1 Timothy 3, the verses 4 and 12, when it speaks of deacons and elders, then it speaks that they must rule their own households and their children. And in Psalm 128, there we read that thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thus when we read, when the keeper said, which vineyard which is mine is before me, to think of their own soul and to think of their own households. But then also a third matter, when the keeper may say, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me, that shows the great concern and the great love that the keeper has for a vineyard, to make it clear. Then we shall use a natural example. If you now have a hired hand that works for a farmer, very diligent, he has his heart in that farm, and he treats that farm as it is his own. Sometimes such a person, when you meet them the way they talk, then they speak as it is their own farm, that you wonder, are you no co-owner, or have you bought the farm? But that shows now the love for that farm. And so we may see it in our text, that the keepers may be given to say, my vineyard which is mine, the Lord has laid that responsibility upon me as keeper. Oh, that vineyard at Baal Haman, that is continually before me, by day and by night, at the throne of grace, my going in and my going out. What a blessed portion for the keeper. Ah, those keepers, they are so dependent. Oh, when the keeper is given to express, my vineyard which is mine is before me, And thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000. And the Lord is a good master. Those keepers, they also receive a good portion. And then we read, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200 amen. Let us sing. Of Psalter 358, the stanzas 3 and 4. Again refresh us, Lord, with thy reviving love, and be thy blessing poured in mercy from above. And what follows, 358, 3 and 4. We shall now read the form for the installation of elders and deacons, which you can find on page 145 in the back of the Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who were chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their installation. But first, you who are to be installed and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who was placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former were of that labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether everyone properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent, as much as possible, the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church. as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, and that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ, but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with her good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God, and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read in Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose, because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles, who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity, to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 9, for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I now ask the brothers to be installed to arrive. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, for Elder Mr. Richard Allen de Kock and Mr. Jan Willem van den Broek, and for Deacon Mr. Bernard James Vandenberg, Mr. Timon van Dijvere, and Mr. Christian Vossenbelt, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you. Ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elders and deacons, whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's church, and consequently of God himself, to these your respective holy offices? Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto? Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, ye elders, in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration to the poor, do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and submit yourselves, in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation, and for Elder Mr. Richard Allen de Kock, yes, and Mr. Jan Willem van den Broek, and for Deacon Mr. Bernard James Vandenberg, and Mr. Timon van Dijvere, and Mr. Christian Vossenbelt. Yes. The Almighty God and Father replenish you with his grace, that ye may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Brothers, it has pleased the Lord to make you a keeper in Solomon's vineyard, in the congregation of Pitcher Butte. And then in this morning hour, then we have heard much already concerning the vineyard, concerning the vines, the manifold labors of the keepers in that vineyard. And when it is well with those keepers, then they shall have love for that greater Solomon whose vineyard it is, but also a heart full of compassion for their vines. Of course, in a vineyard, it is a vine. but in the vineyard of the greater Solomon at Baal Hamon, then there are so many souls entrusted unto us. And then it is so necessary that those souls, that they may be watered with our tears, with our prayers, with our instruction. Then we are called upon to be faithful watchmen, because we live in a time, we have mentioned it, that the vineyard at Baal Hamon of Solomon, that is such a thorn in the eyes of the devil. For 6,000 years he has tried to destroy that vineyard, and it may still stand, and that shall continue. But now concerning the last point of this morning, then we did not have so much time. And then we have heard that Solomon, that he must receive 1,000 pieces of silver. And those pieces of silver, that concerns the honor and glory of the greater Solomon, thus to be exercised with the coming of his kingdom, and hallowed be his name. And that is for our brother deacon to begin. Many mountains, many impossibilities there can be. But then the greater Solomon says, come on your knees. And I read in James 1 verse 5, and that not only when we begin, when we continue. I believe Reverend Verena has said in a certain place, it is one thing to begin, and it is another matter to continue. We have mentioned that it can be that many times they even plan to tell the greater Solomon that they are so unable, so insufficient, and many times discouraged. But we read in our text that Solomon must have 1,000 pieces of silver. Brothers, that's what it goes about. And may the Lord grant unto us as a consistory to be more exercised therewith, that Solomon, that he may be greatly honored, when those little vines may be planted. And what an encouragement when those planted vines with their little fingers, their tendrils, when they may be given to reach those lines, the promises in the Word of God. What an honor it is for the greater Solomon when he may behold those cluster of grapes, the graces which Christ has merited for his people, faith, hope, and love, humility, repentance, rejoicing, and peace. But we have said, Solomon, he is a good master. It's true. First, 1,000 pieces of silver, but also those keepers, they must have 200. Those brothers, a good master to serve. And what do those 200, what does that now signify? We have heard it for brothers that serve honorably, they shall be counted worthy of double honor. Then in the second place, what a reward when we may see the vineyard, that the means of grace, that they may be blessed, plied by the Holy Spirit. And we have heard out of the form that those faithful keepers at the end, they shall receive their eternal reward. And now concerning those 1,000 pieces of silver, in the benediction three special words, replenish. Each time by renewal, we need to be replenished. The second place, to be faithful. And in the third place, to be fruitful. And many times, we can be so concerned more how it goes than for the 1,000 pieces of silver. And to make that clear, let's not make it too long. I have read of the late Reverend Bona. He was a minister in 1907 when the Netherlands Reformed congregations were established. The late Aburian congregations and the churches under the cross. And then it was the plan of Reverend Bona also to join. But at the last moment, Reverend Bona was 7 other congregations. They have now joined, and they are the old Reformed congregation as we know it today. And that minister, he lived in a blessed time. He was given to experience many little vines under his preaching and many vines that were given to grasp those lines and many of God's people that were led further that could clearly tell concerning the knowledge of the mediator and the mysteries of salvation. And one day he was sitting in his easy chair contemplating the rich blessings that the church was given to experience. Had a church of hungry ears, was not perfect congregation. But he was very busy, the responsibilities increased, and he fell asleep in his chair. And then a dream he was given to see. That a very dignified man has come. And to his amazement, he was given to see that that man had laboratory equipment and a weigh scale. Heard the other evening, weighed in the balances. And then that man has come to him and asked him about his zeal. And then he was given to think that he had very much zeal for the greater Solomon. And in his dream, out of his pocket, a large heavy package with all his zeal. And then that dignified man, he put it on the weigh scale, 100 pounds. And in his dream, he was given to smile. He thought there were not many preachers that had as much zeal as he did. But that man was not finished. He put that 100 pounds in the melting pot, and there was much scum. And then he has weighed all the different ingredients of a zeal and put it on a piece of paper. And then when he was finished, then that dignified man came to Reverend Bona with that piece of paper with a sad face. And he says, "Brother, I have examined your zeal." And then there was written, "The zeal of Reverend Bona, candidate for the crown of glory." And these were the ingredients. Personal ambition, 24 pounds. Love for honor, 19 pounds. A sex zeal, 15 pounds. Proud of talents, 14 pounds. Ambition for power, 13 pounds. Formalism, 10 pounds. Pure love for God, 3 pounds. And love for the souls, 2 pounds. And then in his dream, Reverend Bona did not think it was true. But then it became very dark. And then he awoke, said, "Lord, wilt thou save me?" Reverend Bona was given to say that it was needful, useful, and profitable for him. Thus, weighed in the balances and found wanting. To that end, may we as consistor continually need that precious greater Solomon, who also shed his blood for office bearers, where there is so much amiss. May it please the Lord in this year, 2022, to richly bless all the labors, that we may be given to behold the vineyard to flourish. And concerning those 200 pieces of silver, we forgot to mention it, when it may be, when we may be given to taste of the things that we may handle, that is all included in those 200 pieces. A congregation of Pitcher Butte, then you may behold these brothers who may be installed, one for the first time and the other ones by renewal. Greatly privileged, Solomon had a vineyard at Pitcher Butte. And he has appointed keepers. And the purpose of that vineyard, that is those 1,000 pieces of salt, those 1,000 pieces that may be given to the greater Solomon. And now you are part of the vineyard. May it please the Lord in this year that his word may be richly blessed. That it may be seen, shall be seen when the Lord works. Also heard when new vines, those little shoots, may be planted. So tender. But also when by the means of grace, when they may grow, when they may be enabled under the preaching, the reading of the word, when they may be given to grasp and embrace what is written in God's word, then the members also have a great responsibility. We have spoken of a hedge. That is important, because otherwise the wild boar and the wild beast, the little foxes, they shall come in that vineyard. In Job 12, the verses 7 through 9, I read, "As the beast, and they shall teach thee." Maybe most of us have read or seen a musk ox. They live up north with long, shaggy fur. And when the enemy comes, then the strongest, they all form a circle. And the weaker inside, that the enemy shall not destroy. And now we can picture a congregation. Let's picture this way, boys and girls. All the houses where you live in, to put them in a large circle. That is now that hedge of the congregation of Baal Haman. And all those dwellings, they have a front door. Have to go to work, to the world. And the back door into the church. And now what a great responsibility for the dwellers of all those habitations, that in the first place they watch and guard that front door. Not everything must come in. And we know in our day, not only physically, but also in the way of technology. And also to guard that back door that leads to the sanctuary. That is the responsibility of each and every member. Because boys and girls, you can understand it. If there would now be a house missing, then anyone could come in. Or if those doors were not guarded, then anyone from the world can come in. Thus the responsibility. One more point. In Luke 13, the verses 6 through 9, a certain man had a vineyard, and that man came to examine his vineyard, and then he found a fig tree where there was no fruit. And then that owner said to the dresser, cut that tree down, because I do not receive my pieces of silver. But then the dresser, he said, let it stand for one more year. Thus the prayers also of the consistory. But now what else is necessary? Oh, I hope, even our boys and girls, that you may pray much for your consistory, Aaron's and hers, and God's people shall experience when that may be bound up in a special way, that many times that they may receive a special blessing. We ask the congregation now to arise and sing for these brothers from Psalter 373, the stanzas 1, 9, and 10. Oh, praise ye the name of Jehovah, proclaim ye his glory abroad. Oh, praise him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. 373, the stanzas 1, 9, and 10 standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans, show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourself a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God, count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor, give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government, provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent, be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly, and ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that is stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbor steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord, saying, O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee that it hath pleased thee for the better edification of thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with thy spirit. We beseech thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming the elders in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, and keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortation of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 220, let us only sing 3 and 4. A place for thy people thou, Lord, didst prepare. Thy vine deeply rooted rewarded thy care. Its branches like cedars, majestic and free. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the extra collection today is for the school. And there will be a midweek service on this Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 220, only the stanzas 3 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.